think you're what they say you are. Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's Showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5. Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Continuing our Grow with a Pro series, profiling different professions in the entertainment industry, today my guest is Frank Roberts, a very talented actor and director who currently serves as artistic director of Music on Stage. Welcome to the show, Frank.
Good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. So thrilled to have you on the show. Now,
thank you.
As the artistic director of Music on Stage, you are responsible more than anybody else for the overall direction of the company. Can you tell our audience a little bit about Music on Stage?
Music on Stage has been around for 65 seasons, which is something considering that, you know, theater companies start up and then some of them go by the wayside and some of them thrive. Thrilled that, you know, people are wanting to go to the theater, certainly chomping at the bit to go now during this, you know, during the pandemic. Everybody's wanting to get back to the theater. But Music on Stage started basically doing Rodgers and Hammerstein. They're a classic, of course,
yes,
which our audiences love. But they started out doing Gilbert and Sullivan. And they've just kept going. It has become a staple in Palatine, which I love. We have done, you know, the classics, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Lerner and Lowe. We've done everything from Oklahoma to Jekyll and Hyde, actually, which our audience has loved as well. It's just a great company to go to see classic musical theater.
And what does the position of artistic director entail?
The artistic director basically keeps the artistic look of the company going. I do everything from casting when I direct the shows, because I'm also the resident director at Music on Stage. Cast the shows, hire the musicians, hire the orchestra leaders, hire the choreographers, costumers, set designers. Pretty much working hand in hand with the producer to ensure that we have the best quality production that we can possibly have.
Now, you're the resident director. Is there a resident producer as well, or does the producer individual change per show?
It has been the same for quite some time now. Kathy Zimmerman has produced, I believe, if I'm correct, she's produced over 38 shows.
Wow.
With the company. She's been on the board for quite some time. She was on the board before I was. We started out together. I was directing a show. I was hired to direct Mimi in St. Louis, and she was cast in the show. And I went on to other things to work with other theater companies at the time, and she got on the board, and she's been plugging away ever since. She's one of our biggest cheerleaders.
Awesome. Now, what is your overall artistic vision for Music on Stage?
You know, that's a really good question. I get asked a lot, why don't you do the more modern shows? Our audience really loves the classic musical theater shows. Hello, Dolly, Oklahoma, My Fair Lady. Our demographic is over 65. And so we give them what they want. They ask time and time again for the classic musical shows.
And now everybody gets their start somewhere. How did you get your start in directing?
Directing. Well, as you know, we've known each other quite some time.
Oh, yes.
I think when we met, you were doing West Side Story with a group called Gallery Players.
Yes, long time ago. Wow.
Yeah, that was in 1990, I believe, right?
Yeah.
Something like that. That director, Charlotte Laraya, really sparked my interest. I would watch her work, and just was fascinated by, you know, moving people around on the stage, discussing the characters, making sure that it was as faithful to the original as possible. That's always been my thing when I direct, is that I try to stay as faithful to the original productions as possible. Because that's what the audiences want to see. you know, they've either seen the movie that's based on the Broadway musical, and they, you know, and they've got that in their brains, or they were fortunate enough to be in New York to see the original production. And that's why our demographic is what it is. You know, there's a lot of older people who just love that classic musical theater. But my first professional directing job was with Stage Right Dinner Theater in Wooddale. Peter Vertico was the artistic director and sort of like a second father to me. And he gave me a chance to start directing, you know, the classic musicals that I love. And I did Guys and Dolls and She Loves Me and Victor Victoria and Mame, and starring one of our mutual friends, Jody Goldman, as Mame. And it just went there from there. It snowballed.
And what kind of education or training did you have that prepared you for a career in entertainment?
You know, that's also a very good question. People say, oh, you must have gone to school and gotten all kinds of degrees. I am self-taught and I watched. When I was being directed in shows since the time I was 10, I would watch my directors and learn from them and see what worked and what didn't work. And how to deal with actors, how to deal with people who are trying to portray these characters that are nothing like themselves sometimes, and sometimes exactly like themselves. It's been a practical situation for me ever since the beginning. I did not go to school for it. I was, you know, basically schooled in life.
Now, Music on Stage does strictly musicals, but you also direct for other companies. Do you always direct musicals, or do you also do dramas and comedies?
I have always done musicals, except for a few. I've directed shows like You Can't Take It With You, Arsenic and Old Lace, Moon Over Buffalo, which is a Ken Ludwig show, which I love.
Yeah.
Which is very funny. Ken Ludwig stuff is really very funny. And mostly musicals, because that's the genre I love. I love putting it together and watching the choreography come together and everything moving like a movie almost, really. You know, the sets fade in and out and the people run in and out and the choreography keeps going, and it's just such a blast.
Now, what is your favorite musical of all time?
Oh my gosh. I'm sure that everybody who's hearing this who knows me, I don't know who's gonna know me on this program, but it's gotta be Hairspray.
Okay.
That's not a classic musical, although it's done in the classic musical style.
And you've had the opportunity to direct that one, I assume?
Oh, yeah. I've done it, let's see. Well, I've done the same production 4 times. We did it with Music on Stage back in 2015, and I remounted it again for a company in Naperville called Red Horse Theater, who is unfortunately no longer around, with virtually the same cast from the Music on Stage production. And then we moved it to Pheasant Run, which of course is no longer either. So sad.
Yes, very sad about that one.
Yeah, I got you know, a lot of my professional start there as well. Diana Martinez cast me in Fiddler on the Roof back in the 90s, and I did several shows there and worked with great people like Brenda Didier, who choreographed and directed a lot, and she's one of my dearest friends who I've continued to work with over the years. Hairspray really has to be it. It's message of acceptance and the music, and of course the costumes and all of that. That's without saying. It's such a bright, fun show, and the, you know, evoking the memories of the 60s. But the social message as well is just, it's so heartwarming.
Now,
at the end, that everybody comes together, and I wish it could be the way the world is today.
So what was it like fulfilling your dream of directing your favorite show?
Oh, it was exciting. I had such a great team the first time I directed it, because I did perform it before that with the Wilmette Theater, but I directed it the second time I did it. And just working with the costumer to create that look of the 60s, Martha Shuford did the costumes for that production. She's fantastic, one of the best in town. I had Linda Madonia as my music director, who also conducted the pit. She works a lot with Porchlight Music Theater in the city. And my choreographer, Dean Gina DiCostanzo, who I worked with when we were both actors at Stage Right Dinner Theater back in our younger years. She choreographed the show, and the three of us just sat there and really nitpicked all of the style of the show and the look and the feel and the message, and just, it was such a happy show.
Now, are you solely responsible for selecting what shows Music on Stage does each season?
No, I am not. Usually what happens is I will come into a board meeting with three or four different season ideas. So, you know, three different sections of three shows. And then we'll sit and we'll go, okay, well, that show will sell to our audience, but maybe not this one. It's not as well known, you know, that type of thing. And then together we'll put together three shows for one season. So it's a lot of choices. Everybody brings something to the table. I love this one. I love that one. The music is great in this, but the book's not so hot. You know, that type of thing. But it really is a board decision. We vote on it, and then I go out and we start promoting it, and we get all of our marketing materials together, and we send out our emails and our mailings to our patrons who've been faithful to us for as long as I can remember. And we just, you know, we base it basically on what we think the audience wants to see.
And do you ever do surveys of your audiences to help in selecting shows?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have a couple times. We would put together a list of, you know, maybe 10 shows, and in no particular order. We would just list them alphabetically, really, just to see what people are interested in. And it always comes back to the classics. We try to put a modern show in there, and they always come back to the classics, like Fiddler on the Roof, or like I said, My Fair Lady, or Hello Dolly, or MAME. We haven't done MAME in many, many years. That's been talked about recently as well. But yeah, we have tried to see what the audience wants, and it's always right back to the classics.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today we're talking with Frank Roberts, the Artistic Director of Music on Stage in Palatine. Now, Frank, what makes a good season?
What makes a good season? Wow. Well, like I previously said, shows that the audience wants to see. We like to do shows with upbeat messages, upbeat storylines. It's been traditionally the classics. As I said, I keep going back to that. I know I probably sound like a broken record, and most people don't remember what a record is anymore. although vinyl did have a resurgence.
Yes.
I'm getting off topic, but the shows are things that I think people gravitate to because daily life is a grind sometimes, and people want to escape into a world that is totally not what they're used to during the day. I mean, who sings in a barnyard?
Right.
Dorothy does in The Wizard of Oz, right? Who sings in another barnyard? Curly does in Oklahoma. Nobody does that in real life that we know of, or that we've had any recording of. maybe some people who work in a farmyard do sing, but it's an escape. And for me, putting the seasons together and directing them and getting, you know, casts and orchestras and musicians and everything together, that's the excitement, to see that the audiences really love what we do, and that they must, because they keep coming back and they keep telling us, you know, that they love to see the shows we put on. There's a lot of great theater out there. You know, Cutting Hall, for one, Cutting Hall Performing Arts Center, where we've been performing for 42 of the 65 years.
Wow.
They have so many groups that come in and out of there that rent the space, and they all do great work. There's LVP Productions, there's Fremont Street Theater, there's Wood Street Theater, there's Tesseract that has performed out of there. I'm probably missing some. Outreach Spotlight, which is a youth group, they perform out of there. Everybody does such a great job, and they want to bring happiness to everyone, bring some joy into people's lives, so that they can escape from, you know, sitting at the office and your boss yelling at you for your deadline and making sure that everything's done on time. And you finally, at 5 o'clock, you get to go home, have a little dinner, come to the theater, and just escape.
Now, you mentioned that you hired the artistic staff for each show. Mm-hmm. What qualifications do you look for in hiring a vocal director?
Well, I've worked with some of the best. Like I said, Linda Madonia. I've worked with Tommy Vendifredo. Although Tommy's never vocally directed for us, he's played in our pits. Someone who has the passion for the music, I think, is a starting point, who has the passion and the excitement for what we're trying to do and trying to bring to the audience. Christine Shelton is another one. She is a music teacher and vocal director out of Barrington that I met many years ago during a production of Sound of Music. And she's worked with us. Susan Falbo, who for a time was the president of the board of Theater 121.
Love Susan. We just had her on the show recently as well. Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll have to go back and listen to that. I love Susan. Susan and I have been friends for many years. I've worked with her kids. So really, I think it's someone who's got passion for the music. Marty Carlin is another one who's worked with us extensively. I go to familiar faces and familiar people that I know have the same passion that I do.
Now, let's take the same question and ask it about a choreographer. What kind of skills, talent, personality do you look for with a choreographer?
Most of the choreographers that I've worked with, and I've choreographed a lot of our shows as well, but I'm not nearly as good as our other ones. But they have, again, it goes back to the passion. And people like Dina DiCostanzo, who's worked professionally as well as worked in the community theater realm. You know, there's a separation for a lot of people of community theater and professional theater. I would put some of our shows up against some of the professional productions in town. I think professional is really, I'm probably going off topic for a second, but
well, I love where you're going with this, so please keep going.
Professional to me is an attitude, not a paycheck. I feel that I've been working professionally since I was 10 years old. I didn't get my first paycheck until I was in my 20s. And I've worked with some people in the professional realm who are not nearly as professional as you would think people would be. And I've worked with some of the most professional people in community theater. So for me, it's an attitude. And again, the passion of bringing your craft to an audience that you can make them laugh, you can make them cry. You can make them sit on the edge of their seats because they want to hear what you're going to say next, what the script writer has written, you know, what the character has to say. Choreographers, they have a tough job. They got to make it look so clean and so fun, and it's got to tell a story. Most choreographers that I've worked with help tell the story. They're not just going step, touch, let's stand on stage and move to the music. It's got to tell the story. You know, it's got to be part of the emotions of what is being portrayed on stage.
Now, because you are also a very talented actor, you sometimes direct yourself in musicals. Hairspray and Producers are two that come to mind.
Uh-huh.
What is it like directing yourself?
Oh, I'm terrible. I don't listen to the director half the time. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people do ask that. How can you see everything? Because I have a passion for it, I look out of the corner of my eye a lot of times. Now, I do have other people watching for me, the choreographers and assistant directors. They step out and they watch the scenes and they make sure that I'm where I'm supposed to be according to what I've directed, and that everybody's, you know, all doing what they need to do as well, because I don't have, you know, eyes in the back of my head like, you know, like our moms do.
Right.
But I really enjoy it sometimes. And, you know, I know that people say, well, why do you put yourself in your own shows? For me, it's the excitement of wanting to play a role. And I don't just cast myself, of course, without asking the board. They have to approve it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's to me, it's a gift from them, because I work hard and I try to do the best I possibly can for our patrons. So first and foremost to the patrons, because they're the ones paying the bills. You know, they're paying for those seats. And they give me a nice opportunity to express myself in another way than just directing, and I'm grateful to them for allowing me to play some of the roles that I've played and some of the experiences that I've had. It's been really very joyous. A lot of hard work, don't get me wrong. You know, there's nights when Kathy Zimmerman, the producer, and I will stand outside and discuss what has happened throughout the evening and and try and, you know, solve problems that arise and, you know, sometimes scream and yell at each other because we're trying to get it all done and it's, you know, we're down to the wire and, you know, and we're both Italian, so there's that passion too. but it really is, it's a good time. I love what I do. And I don't think that I would hope that there are a lot of people who can say that they love their job. And I can say that it's still fun for me. When it becomes not fun anymore, that'll probably be the time to move on. But I don't see that happening anytime soon. I absolutely love what I do. And I love what the audiences bring to us back, you know, after we've done a show and we've taken our final bow and we go out to greet people at the end of the night. It's just so fulfilling to know that you've brought some joy to someone.
Now, as the artistic director, you have final say on casting of the musicals that Music on Stage produces. Uh-huh. What are the qualities that you look for in a musical theater audition?
Oh, wow. That's a fantastic question. Sometimes people are terrified and they forget their words and they forget that they're auditioning and they fall apart. And those are the moments that I feel for them because I've been through it. I've been terrified sometimes, and auditioning in front of my friends is the worst. If I audition for a director that I know who I'm friends with, it's the worst. but those actors who have gone through that and have forgotten their words and have fallen apart, stop them, and I take a deep breath. It's just us here. You're not auditioning for the Queen, you know, for the Queen of England or whatever. You know, just take a deep breath and do what you love to do. And then there's the other ones who are so polished and so professional, and they just whip out that audition music, and they go up to the piano player, and they just do it.
Jodie Goldman, right there.
Who really? I'm sorry, say that again.
Jodie Goldman, right there.
Jodie Goldman, who can sell a song like nobody's business.
Yes.
We are definitely going off topic now. I've been friends with Jodie for 25 years, I think now. I've directed her in a lot of shows, and first and foremost, she's my friend, you know, who I adore, but she's such a pro. She has done so many fantastic roles. You've worked with her.
Yes, she is wonderful.
You know, Jodie. There are so many people like her, though, who get up there and do that audition and wow you. And then sometimes I don't cast them because they're just not right for the part. You know, maybe they have a vocal quality that's not right for the part, or they're too tall, or they're too short for who I may be casting opposite them, who, you know, whoever those candidates are for a leading man and a leading lady. Sometimes it boils down to that. It's not about talent sometimes. It's about a look or just how you fit into the production with everybody else. But scared auditionee or polished auditionee, I want everyone to have the same passion about the show that I have. So together we're creating an amazing product for the audience.
And what advice would you give somebody who wants to start a career as a director?
Make sure that you don't need sleep. It's tough. There's a lot of work. There's a lot of pre-production that goes into this. But have passion for it. If you don't have the passion and you're just going through the motions and it's not fun, go do something else. Go flip burgers at McDonald's if that makes you happy. Go, you know, go sell newspapers. If there are newspapers to sell anymore, that's gone by the wayside too.
Yes.
but do it because you love it and you want to bring something to an audience and bring a group of actors together to create a story to tell to an audience who's trying to escape their daily life.
Now, we're in a very interesting time right now with the pandemic. You know, theater's kind of come to a standstill.
Yep.
What is your vision for the future of Music on Stage?
Well, I will tell you that we're trying right now to... I am trying because I'm not a very technically challenged... I'm very computer technically challenged. But we're trying to put together a virtual Christmas concert for Music on Stage for our audiences. Sort of as a little fundraiser for the group as well. We're going to film some stuff socially distanced at the theater, and then we're going to stream it at a later date sometime in December. We've got a lot of great Music on Stage, familiar faces performing in that, and some people who have not been on our stage in a while. And so that's exciting. We're going to start putting that together in the next couple of weeks. and like I said, a virtual Christmas concert. So it'll be a, you know, a bit of the holidays and a bit of theater as well. We are scheduled to do Beauty and the Beast in May. Now, whether that's going to happen or not, you know, with vaccines and CDC guidelines and all that, we're not sure. We did have to cancel our first two shows of the 65th season, which we were going to be doing Elf the Musical in November, which no one has done in this area other than some kids productions. Then, which you and I are both familiar with, West Side Story in February. But unfortunately, we had to cancel those, and we're hoping that Beauty and the Beast will get on the boards. If not, we'll figure out what to do and come in with season 65 in the 2021-22 season, and hope that our audiences will come back to the theater. You know, I'm sure they will. People are chomping to get out to get to the theater, even if it's wearing a mask.
Yes, yes. And, you know, are you looking at doing it with reduced seating, social distancing in the auditorium?
If that's what the CDC guidelines are, if Cutting Hall comes to us and says, you know, you can open it up, you know, the guidelines have changed and we can sell, you know, 250 seats, fantastic. If not, we'll do what they tell us to do. We'll socially distance, we'll make sure that everybody's wearing a mask, and we'll have sanitizer at the doors. And, you know, we'll have to control the restrooms and all that stuff, you know, in the lobby and everything.
All
we'll do it as it comes, because we want to make sure that everybody's safe and still enjoying, you know, their experience and not taking any chances.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. You can also listen to podcasts of past shows at huntleyradio.com. My guest today has been the wonderfully talented Frank Roberts, Artistic Director of Music on Stage in Palatine. For more information on Music on Stage, please visit musiconstage.org. Frank, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us.
Ricky, thank you so much for having me. I really had a good time. Thank you.